This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The big questions in Gordon Murray's life are about knowing the odds and making the best of them. After a long career on Wall Street, he has co-authored a slim, smart book of investment advice for people on Main Street. He advises us to be passive investors. It's not about making the killer investment that beats the market. It's about buying wisely into the market and taking advantage of its inherent strengths. Here's another fact about Gordon Murray and the odds. He's going to die soon. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed and treated for brain cancer, a glioblastoma grade 4 brain tumor. In speaking of all this, and of the recurrence of the cancer this year, Gordon Murray is full of realism and even humor. He and his book were the subject of a New York Times story headlined, "A Dying Banker's Last Instructions." The story went viral.
You know, we hit a chord with people. There's something about dying banker. Probably most people think is a good thing.
Earlier this week, Gordon Murray talked with me about his book. It's called The Investment Answer. His co-author is financial advisor Dan Goldie. And more important, he talked with me about living after hearing a diagnosis that meant his death was near.
Obviously, it was a shock, but fortunately, it came at a time in my life when I had balance. I didn't need this as a wake-up call. You know, my kids, well, they're now 22 and 25, so, you know, I already had so much to be thankful for. And one of the good things about having one of these malignant glioblastomas is that you do get some time to get closure, to plan, and to spend so much great time with your family and friends.
You mean because you assume that you would still have months to live?
Well, you're told in a caring way you're dead on diagnosis, but you know, usually, you know, you've got a couple months to 12 months to, it's now been 2 years for me. So by some statistical measures, I've hit it out of the park. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so when you basically accept that your days are numbered and you embrace the disease, and I'm not knocking people who are very private about their conditions, but I found that you can really touch a lot of lives in a positive way. And it's funny because so many doctors and other people told me, well, you should just get that beach house in Hawaii and watch the sunset. And I realized all this work I'd done after 25 years on Wall Street, you know, while there are a lot of things I couldn't do, like play bridge or tennis, this is something I wanted to continue doing.
The book, The Investment Answer, is full of iconoclastic observations about investment. And one of the questions you address is, should you be an active or passive investor? And it just seems, we seem programmed to think that active must be better. Whatever is active must be preferable.
Yeah, in every single chapter, you know, there are insights and observations that really do fly in the face of everything that we've ever heard about investing. I think it's American to believe that if you're smarter or you work harder, you can beat the markets. But of course, after the higher turnover, the higher fees, the taxes that accompany the turnover, the opportunity cost of cash, and a bunch of other reasons, I've never seen a study that shows that long-term investors can beat the markets over time. And I should probably back up because I spent 25 years trying to do that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in institutional sales, trading, or management, you're interfacing with a large institutional investor such as PIMCO or CalPERS or Franklin Templeton Advisors, for example. And it's a level playing field. Where my problem and where I think the greatest abuses have occurred is when that Wall Street broker is transacting with grandma. And she has no idea whether those muni bonds have been marked up 3 or 4%. And I think that's where Wall Street has really abused the trust with the investing public.
In the New York Times article about you and about the book, there's a line, there's a quotation attributed to you that people believe a writer who has a brain tumor, you say. Do you find that you've acquired greater credibility in these past couple of years?
Yes, it's a very powerful platform. Even my kids listen to me now. There is something that happens when you have, you know, a terminal disease. And so it's actually a platform that I've taken really seriously. And in my own personal situation, I do have the peace of mind of knowing, and this is what we point out in this book, that you focus on what you can control. Mm-hmm. You control having the right asset allocation, having the right diversification within and across asset classes. And the most important aspect is probably having the discipline to stay the course.
I assume, like a lot of people, I am impressed right now by your extraordinary equanimity and grasp of your situation and your illness. Are you surprised by yourself? That is, prior to the diagnosis, do you think you understood how you would cope with this, or are you surprised by your own behavior?
I was surprised how meaningful it was helping other people. And that I really got great joy from that. In fact, I tell my kids now, if you start to feel sorry for yourself, just do something for someone else. But if this had happened to me 10 or 20 years ago, I really would still be wallowing in self-pity and life is unfair. And
You were 58 years old at the time of the diagnosis?
Yeah, 58 when I was diagnosed. But the thing is, you know, I had a chance to get some perspective, the chance to give something back, and that I've lived this long and experienced so much closure, planning, love from friends and family. I mean, boy, everybody should be so lucky as to have a phase like this. And I mean, the fact is, we're all going to die. I'm going to beat you, Robert, across the finish line, most likely. But in the whole scheme of things, it's not by that much. And I think when you realize that you're not your body, it doesn't really matter that much whether you live short or long.
I should explain. You're at home in California right now. I'm in Washington, D.C. You sound very vigorous. You sound like a healthy guy to me right now. I've interviewed a lot of people who don't sound as on top of things without brain tumors than you sound today. So, you feeling all right?
You know, I'm feeling. It was 6 months ago that I was told I had 6 months to live, and I am. I mean, after this interview, I'm going to get back in bed and I'll probably sleep for a few hours, but. There's something else, and I hope it came through my voice. When you have a belief system, because I've worked for Wall Street firms and heard, you know, Siegel, if you can't sell it, we'll find somebody who will. Mm-hmm. And after a while, people know. But when you have a belief system, then it's easy to get excited. Because there's just a difference when you believe what you're talking about.
Well, Gordon Murray, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Gordon Murray talking with us from his home in Burlingame, California. His book is called The Investment Answer.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.